A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Until he establishes justice on the earth, the coastlands will wait for his teaching. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with its crops, who gives breath to its people and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord. We now enter into what the church considers the holiest week of the year, as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday, Sunday, we heard the reading of the Passion as we enter into this week. This week, among many images that are given to us, we are given the image of the servant of the Lord. That interpretation of the life and death of Christ, whereby he is seen as a supreme, unsurpassable exemplification of what it means to be God's servant. We have, during this week, a reading of those four famous servant poems, passages, songs from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On Monday, today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then again on Friday, we have those four servant songs, the most climactic of them being on Friday, Good Friday, in which we hear those words so readily associated with our Lenten season and the celebration of the Passion. By his wounds, we have been healed. And on Holy Thursday, we have the washing of the feet, an acting out of that servanthood, aware that although Jesus perhaps on several occasions had said, I have not come to be served, but to serve, what was most memorable for them would have been at that last festive Passover meal when he washed their feet, which the Gospel of John recalls. And so today we have that first of those four servant poems from the prophet Isaiah. And they make us ask, what is the power that lies behind within this image of servant? We find it throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, not just in Isaiah, not just in these four songs. And someone like Jeremiah has loomed large as an exemplification as well of what servanthood is. That it is, first of all, a servant of the Lord, of God. And what a servant is the one who's really deeply obedient to God, one who conforms one's will to that of God. Exemplified also there in Gethsemane, if this chalice could pass me by, but not as I will, thy will be done. Found already in the story of the Annunciation to Mary, when she said to the angel, let it be done to me according to your word. So there are many servants throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, but there are in these four readings that we will hear this week, not only the notion, that fundamental notion of the servant as one who is obedient, and of Christ who, according to the letter to the Hebrews, one who learned obedience through what he suffered, and in the letter to the Philippians, one who was obedient even unto death, even death on the cross. Beyond only obedience, there's also the notion in these four of the servant who is called to suffer, the suffering servant. Not every servant of God is necessarily called to suffer in the way that Jeremiah did, the way that Jesus did. But many times, a part of what God asks of us is to be open to a certain kind of suffering that our vocation might entail, whatever it is. Jeremiah certainly could not have preached that word of God to those people at that period of history without experiencing the pain of rejection. And so sometimes we're aware that those God calls, that call includes as well an openness to suffering, such as in one of the Beatitudes, blessed are they when they persecute you. But then in that fourth one, which we will hear read in Good Friday, it's not only that the servant is called to suffer, not all, but some, many, of course, but that in some cases that suffering has a kind of vicarious, atoning type value. It's something that redounds to the benefit of others. Even in our prayers sometimes, we might hear a mother praying for her child who is ill. Lord, if only I could suffer in his or her place. It's in our human heart sometimes to want to take away the suffering of someone else and suffer in their place. And so sometimes then in that way we also share in the sufferings of another, or we can offer our own sufferings up for another, or we come to the awareness that our suffering might be of value for someone else. These poems that we will hear during the week, of course, vary at times in terms of how they envision the servant. It's not just one image, but many. Sometimes Israel is the servant. Sometimes the servant is sent to Israel. Sometimes it's Israel speaking to the Gentiles and to the nations. Sometimes the servant is a kind of ideal. Sometimes it's as if it's someone to come. But today we hear those words in this very first servant poem. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, upon whom I have placed my spirit. Those themes come through so often. The servant, chosen, who's given the gift of the Spirit, but then he shall bring forth justice to the nations. The servant of God, the one who is obedient to the Lord, is the one who desires justice on earth, seeks justice, that God's will might be done. But then the image today is one of a very non-violent servant, not one who's out there in any kind of vehement, aggressive way on behalf of justice, but rather one who, in his or her own way, bespeaks God's desire for justice, God's love for the poor, such as the Beatitudes themselves of Jesus conveyed. For the servant is described as not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street, a bruised reed. He's not going to break. No, rather, he works patiently, sometimes behind the scenes. She is there on behalf of justice. This is what the Lord desires. Here in Isaiah, but in the prophet Micah and all the prophets, we know what the Lord seeks, that we act justly, love tenderly, walk humbly with God. We are reminded of those themes, those prophetic utterances, as we hear during this week, the voice of the servant, the depiction of the servant. And we then have to stop and ask ourselves, in what way do I embody what servanthood means? Do I take the gift of the Spirit that I've received in baptism for granted? Am I aware that as God's chosen, beloved one, that it's not just glorying in that, but that there's a mission involved in it, a mission on behalf of the poor, on behalf of justice. Do I see myself as God's servant, one called to be obedient to the Lord, an obedience which may not always be easy or pain-free? But during this week, as we contemplate the passion of Christ, we will see what servanthood means par excellence. We will see the model set before us, and we will understand again in a new way what the imitation of Christ means. And we are challenged then not only to bring our adoration to the cross of Christ, but to be challenged by that cross of Christ during this last week of the Lenten season to transform our lives so that we experience ourselves the new life that Easter will celebrate.